Welcome back in hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Speaking of the text line, Joe Rex Road, I hear you have something on the text line.
Yeah, I mean, Keith on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, often has great submissions. To our earlier discussion about Michelle missing the Rob Schneider show because it's, you know, they went to a week early to it. So
there is that.
So Keith, I'm just going to read Keith's text exactly as it must be read. Michelle Paradisio, missing show, showing up early. Michelle Perry missed the show. There you go. That is not as good as the actual Rob Schneider in SNL, but that's a little preview for it. Go get these on YouTube. They were right during the same era as Toonses. It's the golden era of SNL.
I'd give you a 6.5 out of 10 there.
Okay.
That's pretty good.
I'll take that. Yeah. I used to be better at it. Because, you know, used to be on a lot. And so that actually is, you know how sometimes things in pop culture get to the point where they're annoying?
Yeah.
Like that was seriously for a little bit of, like, you guys may not remember, you know, this, but like, what's up? Okay. That was like, oh, dude, it's got to stop. Everyone says it. Now it's like your grandpa says it. Please, everybody stop. This was one of those for a little while. Well, everybody's like, hey, making copies. You know, it's like, yeah. Okay, we need to stop now. But now that it's been this much time, it feels good to do it again.
I'd say now you're trying to bring it back. I respect it. That's what we're about here on the show.
I mean, I hope Rob Schneider gives you a little bit of that next Thursday if you guys remember to show up to the show and get there at the proper time.
Listen, I will be there. I will.
Okay. I trust you.
No, I can't believe I've made it this far in the show without really a major, I think, life update for the two of us and for the listeners of this show that have followed along with this saga. I was out to dinner last night in Springfield, Tennessee with a few members of my family at a wonderful place called The Depot. They do a great job out there. They are big fans of the show, by the way, so shout out to them. We appreciate them listening every day. And I finally, Joe, I have found some banana pudding that I think may be just as good as the homemade that I've talked about.
Ooh.
I discovered it last night. It was unbelievable. So we have finally found a place for me to take you so you can become a banana pudding believer as well.
Okay. I'm in for it. Now, we went to lunch with Michelle's stepdad, and who bought us lunch. Thank you very much.
Shout out Dan, the
goat.
Shout
out Dan.
Shout out to Dan.
Dan. And I liked that banana pudding.
So did I. That was good.
Yeah. Now again,
this one's better.
The argument is not that it's like always terrible. I mean, mushed bananas, you know, you got to get over that mentally. You got over that mental hurdle. It's fine. I have no doubt that there's even better banana pudding in the world. It's just still, it's like relative to other desserts. That's where it's a tough one for me, right?
Listen, Robbie,
a lot of nods in the
listen.
The production.
No. I'm nodding with Rob on this one, Joe.
Yeah.
Listen,
thank you.
I went to lunch with Porth when he was still here a couple weeks ago. We went to Edley's Barbecue or it's something like that. It's a chain. And I saw banana pudding on the menu, and I thought about Robbie, how you rave about it. And I was pleasantly surprised.
Yeah.
I like bananas, but not like in a sweet dessert kind of way. I like me some banana pudding.
Okay, but again, okay, so rank it among best desserts in the world.
In the world? Okay, well, obviously cookies, like chocolate is number one.
Chocolate, okay, but what about, okay, like there's like 27 different desserts with chocolate. Are you putting them all ahead of banana pudding?
Listen, I might. I would say banana pudding, like top five.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, I want you to list them out then.
Okay, so.
More controversial
cheesecake.
Okay, yeah.
German chocolate cake, carrot cake, ice cream sundae.
Hot brownie with vanilla ice cream sundae, number one. Oh, no, carrot cake's up there,
dude,
too.
Carrot cake is incredible.
Then, like, the red velvet cake.
Oh, uh-huh. Boston cream pie, uh-huh.
Boston cream donut. Boston cream donut.
Once you start thinking about all the desserts, yeah, this is the problem.
Really, what we've discovered here, if you're above the Mason-Dixon line, you just don't need to talk about food. That's probably what we've discovered.
But,
here,
Robbie, I know plenty of people from here who don't like banana pudding.
Well, I don't like collard greens, Joe.
That's insane. You didn't like the collard greens from that? Oh, Oh my gosh.
I just ate them because you said that. You were like, these are so good, Michelle.
But you didn't like those.
No.
Okay.
More right. controversial now, take. Hit up our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. More controversial take. Joe Rexroad's hatred of banana pudding hatred of the Beatles. Hit up our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025.
We got a texter, by the way, on the banana pudding festival in Centerville. That's the one that you tweeted about, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I would go. I'd go.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Live broadcast from the Banana Pudding Festival. I'm all here for it.
I mean, it's a weekend in October, so probably can't do it, but I like the idea.
The one I saw was in April. So there's multiple. We can do that one.
Wow. I wonder which Banana Pudding Festival is better.
I don't know. Guess we'll have to find out. Joe, getting to the Super Bowl, which we'll see whether or not I have banana pudding while I'm watching the Super Bowl this weekend. We've talked a lot about the Rams, not only for being in this game, but really the approach to lead to this game and how that really pertains to the Titans. Obviously, the Rams are going all in. At some point, given their draft capital that they've given up to do this, they're going to have to pay the piper down the road at some point with the moves that they've made. But if you win a Super Bowl, nobody really cares. They've already been to one Super Bowl with Jared Goff. Now here they sit in another one with Matthew Stafford. My question for you is, if they lose on Sunday and they don't win the Super Bowl, do you view their all-in / go-forward approach, whatever phrase you want to use, do you view it any differently? Or do you say, well, they're in the Super Bowl. It's hard to fault what they've done to this point. How much pressure is on the Rams to finish the job with the approach they've taken this weekend? And if they don't, do you, Joe Rexroad, view it any differently at all?
Well, look, there's going to be a difference between winning and losing this game. If they win, then it's absolutely, I mean, that's going to be a lot of the talk, right? It's like, here you go. This is why you do this. So there's going to be a difference between, that and if they lose the game, you know, ultimately it's like, well, you got close. But I still think it's pretty much been validated, you know, by getting here. And just by having the season they had. They had their ups and downs. Really, it was kind of like the Titans broke them for a little while. They were averaging, you know, 31 a game, looking like a legit contender, about to thump the Titans at home Sunday Night Football without Derrick Henry. And then for a few weeks after that, it seemed like they wobbled a little bit. But for the most part, they've been a really good team all year. They've gotten it done when it matters the most. They've gotten huge plays from the guy that they mortgaged a lot to get. And look, there were a lot of teams that were like, heck no, I want nothing to do with it when Odell Beckham went out of Cleveland. Well, they weren't one of those teams. And so they're also an example of these teams who I think sometimes are afraid because of culture to go get a great player. If your culture is that good, then you should be okay with that. If your culture is that strong, Mike Vrabel was talking about culture yesterday, right? Like it's, you know, yeah, it's great when he says this a lot. It's great when everybody wins. When it really comes out is when you're losing. And how do you keep it together and all that? Well, I think it also shows itself if you bring in someone who is known as, you know, a bad element to culture, and it's like it doesn't matter because it's strong enough that you're like, hey, you're going to come in here. Let's go. We win here. We do things the right way here. You're going to fall in line, I guess, so to speak. Well, it seems like Odell Beckham has done just fine there, and Matthew Stafford's talking about what a great teammate he is, you know? So that, to me, speaks also of, like, the foundation they have in the organization. Then you go all out, and you go get Von Miller, and you go get Beckham, and you get Stafford, and if they win, then that will be the thing that's, I think, discussed. If they lose, some people will nitpick at it, and that's fine. I mean, ultimately, it is about winning the whole thing. But I still think it's been validated.
Joey from Bell Mead on the text line says, total failure if they don't win the Super Bowl. The objective is to win the game, not just get there. This is coming from Joey in Bell Mead. You know, it's interesting because I view it kind of two different ways. The trade to get Stafford, I think, is already validated at this point. Stafford is clearly a better option than Jared Goff was. And, you know, Stafford, I still think, has some high-level football in him for the next few years. So I think that trade has already been validated. I will say, like, I don't know, if you're a Rams fan say you lose this game on Sunday, you know, there's no guarantee that you're ever getting back here in the next couple of years. And at some point, you're going to have to, like, at some point, the Rams are not going to be good. They're going to have to pay the piper coming up here with the moves that they've made. I don't know. If you get to two Super Bowls and you don't win it, is that worth it if you're a Rams fan? I think it would probably depend on who you ask in that situation. Like, to me, let's just take this conversation to the Titans. You go all in, whether it's a quarterback or whatever. You get to a couple of Super Bowls, you lose to, I don't know, whoever, twice. Is that worth it at that point? I don't know. It depends on who you ask. Like, we still talk about the 99 team getting to the Super Bowl because they're the only team that's gotten to the Super Bowl. Obviously, you want to win. Is it worth it if you get there a couple times and lose?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's the thing. It just depends your perspective. You could be if you're a fan of certain teams, you're like, yes, getting to the Super Bowl. Are you kidding me? It sounds incredible. I mean, how do Bills fans view the four straight, you know? I mean, they were a dominant team. They were a great team year after year. Now, they got blown out in the last three of those. They should have won the first one. You know, a lot of people – I mean, people still refer to that like, oh, don't be the Buffalo Bills, you know. But, hey, would you not have rather – I mean, if it's the 32-team model that we are now, I mean, there's still 30 other teams that are jealous of that, right?
That's what I'm saying. It's going to be interesting. I've said it all week. I'm picking the Bengals. So if the Bengals win, I'm interested to see what the reaction is to the Rams coming up on Monday after the game. It's going to be quite fascinating. We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Super Bowl on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, including what I think may be a new trend in the NFL that teams may try to adopt. We'll get to that coming up on the other side. By the way, I got a texture that says banana pudding is 1,000 times better than a band named after a bug. This coming from an unnamed texter on the text line.
Yeah, your unnamed burner account. Don't try to fool us with this garbage.
I'm just saying.
I'm going to trace the number.
There are multiple people on the text line that are not fans of the Beatles. Now, there are multiple people on the text line that hate banana pudding and think I'm an idiot for hating the Beatles. So we're all about fair opportunity.
Bless their hearts.
We'll continue the conversation next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
How serious are you about the Skyline Chili Bath? Because Twitter's booming right now.
Twitter's booming right now?
Oh, yeah. So I put it out there. People are very interested.
Let's go. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I talked to I was on a podcast, PMT podcast with Big Cat, and he said he was going to do it. And I said, I'll join you. Easy. 100%. I'm wearing swim trunks, but you put it in a swimming pool, I'll dive in there, and I'll eat my way out.
That was Cincinnati Bengals tight end CJ Uzama, who says, Bengals win the Super Bowl? Screw it. I'm taking a bath in chili. What do you think of that one? A chili bath.
CJ Uzama, he's going to take a bath. And also, the Titans are afraid to get in that bath of chili with me, aren't
they?
Huh? You're afraid.
That's right.
Hey, man.
CJ Uzama's fun. He talks a lot.
He is. He says some interesting stuff. I'm there for it. I am. In fact, I just bought a frozen, I haven't tried it yet, but I saw it at the grocery store. I bought a frozen bin of Skyline chili. And I will, and we've had it in the cans. Fine. Obviously, it's better when you're there, but that stuff is, it's so addicting. It's incredible.
Great Super Bowl dish, people. Skyline chili dip.
Yes.
Delicious. Just look up the recipe. It's super easy to make, and it's so good.
Yeah, in fact, I think we're going to try to make that Sunday. What are you shaking your head about, Junie?
Oh, these hate Skyline
Steelers
chili.
Fans crying about Skyline chili. God.
Skyline chili is good stuff. Mark from Clarksville on the text line. Banana pudding with vanilla wafers is amazing. Would much rather have that over the Beatles. Mark from Ashland City says, banana pudding is elite, and the Beatles are just okay.
I see the text messages you're choosing, Robbie.
Yeah.
I see that.
Nice way to be a gatekeeper here of information.
That's what I'm doing.
Yeah. By the way,
Keith from Bowling Green on the text line. Robbie, your opinion of the Beatles reminds me of something my father used to tell me. Son, you ain't a total loss. I can always use you as a bad example. This is coming from Keith from Bowling Green. There you go.
Good job, Keith. And also, Dane from Nolensville on my text line points out they are the Beatles, B-E-A-T. You know, Beatles, the bug, is B-E-E-T.
Look, I just read the text messages.
No, I know. I'm responding to that texter.
Okay.
case he or she didn't know.
I have a theory that's out there, and this is going to be one of those theories that falls under the, well, no, duh, Robbie, but I'm going to say it anyway. Obviously, as we look at getting to the Super Bowl and trying to win a championship, we all know that quarterback is increasingly important with each year that goes by. So, I mean, look at the last couple of Super Bowls. You got Brady Mahomes, you got Stafford and Burrow this year. So the quarterback, I don't think anybody would argue, is the most important factor for you getting to the Super Bowl on most years. I think that's definitely the case this year with these two teams. I have noticed, though, and we talked about this, and you brought it up with the Ja'Marr Chase selection over Penei Sewell, going just kind of loading up on skill players. Think about the last two Super Bowls. Yes, the quarterback's extremely important, but you have Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. You've got Mike Evans and Chris Godwin and Antonio Brown and Leonard Fournette in the last Super Bowl. This Super Bowl, Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd, Joe Mixon, Cooper Kupp, Odell Beckham. I mean, it just kind of feels like maybe the new approach that teams are going to take is not necessarily, I'm not saying abandoning the line of scrimmage because the Rams are strong there too in particular, but just loading up as much as humanly possible at the skill position. The Bengals have done that. The Rams, with OBJ bringing him in, have done that. I wonder, like, if you're the Titans, are you looking around and saying, all right, well, let's just get as many skill players in here as humanly possible and see if that's the way we can go about trying to win a Super Bowl? It is a copycat league. The Bengals have three wide receivers who are capable of getting 1,000 yards. Not every team could do that. I'm interested to see if this becomes a thing now where if you're a team, you know, everybody talks about building depth, right? You want to have as much depth as you can possibly have. And Charles Robin brought this – you brought this up with Charles yesterday. Like, depth-wise, Rams are okay. Their starting 22 is pretty darn good with skill players that they have at their position. I wonder if that could be an approach that maybe other teams try to copy as you move forward. Obviously, the quarterback part of it aside, because we know that's important.
Well, I would counter that with if Sunday unfolds like I think it will, which I think will be the Rams front absolutely annihilating the Bengals offensive line and sacking Joe Burrow enough that it leads to a victory, then we're going to be talking about two straight Super Bowls with two AFC teams with elite skill all over the field who couldn't block the NFC opposition and lost because of it. So now if it plays out the way I think it will, then I think, you know, you're going to put a little bit of a pause on all that. That said, I do think the Titans, yeah, I mean, I think the Titans, a key for the Titans next year is they've got to be more dangerous and more diverse with their skill on Sundays because, you know, I think Julio Jones, if he's back, I think, you have a chance for him to have a healthy year and a good year and all that. That's what you got to have, someone who scares defenses other than A.J. Brown, yep. who you got to have a tight end who can be dynamic. So easier said than done, given all the cap challenges with the Titans. But I think for sure for them and their situation, they've probably looking at this, and maybe they don't even need to look at this. They know, but you look at this and it's like, yeah, see, those are the teams that are in this game. They've got guys all over the field who can make plays. I mean, the Chiefs, you know, didn't get here. They've got the last two. They really have had two elite guys, but they're just elite. It's hard to, like, how can – it's just like the quarterback. You know, how can you go get a Patrick Mahomes or a Josh Allen, right? Good luck. Everybody's trying to find that.
Well, yeah, why haven't the Titans drafted a Tyreek Hill, Joe?
You're right.
Why has that not happened?
Right. Well, and it's like, and there's different guys every year now. It's like, could this be a Tyreek Hill? Like, I mean, look, KJ Hamler out of Penn State. I was like, it could be a Tyreek Hill kind of player. Well, it hasn't worked out that way. But some kind of vertical threat, you know? Again, like a Jameson Williams, if it worked out that the Titans were picking at that spot and he's there, I would absolutely advocate for that pick over any offensive line pick.
Yeah. It's amazing kind of the way this is lined up. And, you know, if you're the Bengals, we've talked about this a ton. Eventually, you're going to have to invest in protecting Joe Burrow or he's going to get killed back there. But it is kind of amazing. I mean, you talk about a turnaround. Obviously, he has a lot to do with that. Ja'Marr Chase has a lot to do with what we're seeing out there, too. Like, Ja'Marr Chase, this time next year, we may be talking about Ja'Marr Chase as the best wide receiver in football. Like, he's already kind of probably on that short list. Like, he is an elite, elite talent. So I just wonder, like, does that change the way you view it? Like, if you know that your line of scrimmage is a weak point, like the Bengals was, there was no secret about it heading into the playoffs, and your quarterback had just got hit and tore his ACL, they still went with the decision to go get the wide receiver over the offensive lineman, and they got crushed for it at the time. I wonder how much maybe the way it's played out changes the way teams view that as they move forward.
Yeah, well, look, there was a lot of people who were like, how could you possibly do this? You know,
oh, yeah.
There's other receivers in the world. What are you doing? Well, I think the Bengals just had the evaluation of, no, this is not just another good receiver. And by the way, Ja'Marr Chase, there were some people who were like, oh, you can't sit out that last season of college. That's going to hurt you in the eyes of the – nah, if you're that good, you're that good. And that's what matters. So in that case – look, if it's that level of player, then it's the right decision. If he was just really good or good, then, well, they wouldn't be here. I also think that the bank, like, part of their strength is that, like, Joe Mixon's really good. Mixon continues to be the least talked about player on that team who makes such a big difference, and the other two, you know, starting receivers are also really good. You know, a perfect slot guy, but then, you know, Higgins is a guy who already has been overshadowed because Ja'Marr Chase is such a freak, but he's awfully, and that's where they're so tough. And that's where, to your original question, if you can get that kind of skill, and again, you're talking about skill at a great cost right now, then you can really make runs like this. Look at Seattle.
Yeah,
more with their defensive roster, but look at what they were when they were only paying Russ his rookie deal and how good they could be.
Let's go back to the text line. Scott from Hopkinsville texting in says, you can have every elite skill player that you could find. If your quarterback likes to throw it to the other team, then it doesn't matter. That's coming from Scott on the text line. I hear you. You're correct. More skill means hopefully more wide open players, though. Maybe it's a little bit harder to throw it to the other team when they're wide open.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I assume that's a shot at Tannehill, and it goes without saying that none of it will matter if he doesn't play better the next time he gets a chance in the postseason.
Liam on the text line.
We can all agree on that.
I would say so. Liam on the text line says, self-loathing plans for Super Bowl Sunday. Super Bowl on mute, listening to the Beatles with a gallon of banana pudding with no spoon. This coming from Liam on the text line for his plans for Super Bowl Sunday. That sounds somewhat good,
scary.
I guess.
Yeah. So he's in both of our camps, sort of.
Yeah. I don't think Liam's gotten over the loss to the Bengals yet.
But Liam, I would say sound on for the Super Bowl.
Yeah. We'll see.
I agree, but plenty of time in the day to listen to the Beatles. They never get old. The catalog is untouchable. But on this text line, no name. But I just have to throw this out there. Stillman has reported Burrow is coming to the Titans after seeing Skyline Chili at Kroger. Well done, nameless texter.
That's nicely done. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Take your thoughts on the Super Bowl. We'll get to a crazy day yesterday in the NBA trade deadline as well. All that coming up on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Friday morning. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line and welcome in Adam from Portland, who wants to weigh in. Adam, thanks for calling into Robbie and Rex Road.
Thanks, man. Good morning. Hey, I wanted to give everybody a chance to save some money this weekend and get so the Super Bowl. I feel like everybody's talking about how competitive this is going to be. I don't think Joe Burrow is going to be able to keep up by himself in this game. So, and I love Chase. I think Ramsey's probably gonna wake him up a little bit here, and that's okay because I think the Bengals are good. Being a big Titans fan, I hate the Bengals for what they did to us, but I can see that they are a very good young team that's just going to get better. But I think this is going to – I don't know if it's going to be quite the Seattle-Denver Super Bowl, but I think it's going to be a pretty large gap. So, and that 48.5, man, tells me it's probably going to have a lot of people betting over. I would say under, so some big margin, like 30 to 10 – craziness and everybody loses money. So that's my prediction of a big Ram blowout.
Hey, thanks for the call, Adam. I appreciate it.
Calling a shot Adam, early.
Adam reading out of the Joe Rexroad playbook there when it comes to the Rams winning by 40 against the Bengals.
No, I don't think that'll happen. I could see that his scenario happening. Look, I remember a year ago after watching what the Chiefs did to the Bills, I was like, no, they're going to blow out the Bucs, you know? And then you're watching the game and you're like, Patrick Mahomes can't throw in this game, you know? Just never know how it's going to go. Now I kind of feel like it'll be the other way around with the same sort of thing. But, hey, man, Joe Burrow, I think he's also going to find a way to make some plays in this game. I'm hoping we have a good one. I think we have a decent chance of a good game.
Look, man, we've been talking about how the Bengals have no chance all playoffs long.
That's true.
That's what people have been talking about the whole time. Who gave him a chance against Kansas City? And for a while, it looked like they were going to be right, but can never count that Joe Burrow guy out. I'm hoping we get a good game. I want a good game. I may be wrong about the Bengals. I do need a good game. I don't want to blow out.
Always. I mean, ultimately, yeah. You know, we're all – unless you got a dog in the fight, right? That's what we're all rooting for. We've had a good run for the most part.
For the most part.
In the last 20 years or so.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Glenn from Laverne texting in says, the unnamed texter is an idiot. Titans fans are snowflakes. Get over it. Watch the teams who earned their way in. I hate what happened to the Titans. I am a fan. This was not what they wanted to have happen, but it did. This comes from Glenn from Laverne, who is upset at people on our text line for making excuses for the Titans and whining about stuff. I guess the quarterback position.
Yeah.
Is Glenn a Tannehill defender?
I don't know. May have to.
What's Jared's club? The Boohoo Tannehill club?
So I want it. I think he calls it the Boohoo Tannehill crew, but I actually want to change it to the Tannehill Boohoo crew so that you have THC all together. Cause
yes.
It just seems to apply to his takes sometimes.
Oh, man. Great stuff there. What a day yesterday in the NBA. James Harden on the move from the Nets to the Sixers. Ben Simmons going back to the Nets yesterday. Big trade at the NBA trade deadline. I guess for your casual sports fan out there, maybe you like the NBA, you don't love the NBA, you're watching it. Does the deadline make you a little bit more interested, especially with a move like that happened yesterday with James Harden going from the Nets? And it is kind of amazing. I think it was Field Yates that put this stat out there yesterday. You know, we made such a big deal of James Harden going to the Nets last year and, you know, uniting with Kyrie and KD. They ended up playing a grand total of 16 games together. 16 games. James Harden out, Ben Simmons in Brooklyn. What do you think of that trade, Joe Rexler? By the way, you know, Seth Curry a part of it, Andre Drummond a part of it. It's a bigger trade than just those two, but those are the two main names.
Yeah, well, first of all, I mean, the NBA trading deadline – it's right there with I'd say it's the wildest one on a consistent basis. You know, baseball can get good too. Hockey can get good too. But the NBA, some of the stuff that happens is wild, and some of the stuff that happens leads directly to championships. I tell you what, first of all, yes, the James Harden thing, that's an amazing stat. Also, did you happen to see the TNT you know, inside the NBA when they had LeBron on? I guess it was yesterday, right? Yeah.
Incredible, yeah. Joe. Absolutely incredible. Yeah. I just watched the video.
Oh, it's so great. It's like LeBron is like, so is Harden, is he healthy? You know, because he hasn't been playing. And Barkley's like, oh, he's healthy now. But you just have to. I can't do justice to it. And then LeBron has to cover his face with like a thing because he's laughing so hard at it. It was great. Because, you know, Harden, that's the thing with Harden. I mean, it's like, okay, so how many places do you want out of, James? Like, is this just going to be every year, you know, you're going to take your ball and go home? I like this trade a lot for the Nets. I'll tell you what. You know, Ben Simmons took a lot of crap, unable to take a shot, make a shot, all that stuff last year. And then all this, the saga with the Sixers has just been, it's tiring. But I tell you what. Him and his game with Kyrie and Durant, actually, I think that the Nets may have just gotten themselves the NBA Finals. We'll see.
We will see. I'm interested how the Harden and Embiid element of this plays out. I think Harden
it's better than Simmons.
Fits in. Well, it's better than Simmons for sure, but I think Harden fits in better with a player like Embiid than he does with KD and Kyrie. Like,
I agree.
Harden's a guy that basically needs to have the ball in his hand every time down the floor. Now, look, you know, I've always thought James Harden's a little bit overrated because there's all this talk now that as a Dwayne Wade stan, it's made me mad for years. Like, well, James Harden's a better player than Dwayne Wade ever was. You're out of your mind if you think that's the case. And the way that he's not won, I think, proves that. But I am interested to see how this works out. To me, these are the two teams in the East. I know Milwaukee's still there. Miami didn't really make a big move. They're still a very good team. But I'm interested to see how this works out and whether or not Ben Simmons can make his entire team mad now with the Nets. Like, does KD and Ben Simmons, do they hate each other by the end of the season here? I think there's a strong possibility that they might.
I think Ben Simmons is going to get KD the ball, and I think it's going to work out great, you know, and do all the other things that he does well. But, yeah, we'll see. You know, with Harden – look, I'm with you. I'm totally with you on Dwayne Wade versus Harden. We're in the best era ever of basketball, period. And this is
– that's a bold statement.
I know. I know it is, and a lot of people – and I am as much an old head who loves the 80s and 90s NBA as anyone, but, I mean, go watch those games and watch the product now. It's a totally different level, and it is the ball movement – that is such a big part of it, the skill, the shooting, the ball movement. James Harden is my absolute least favorite player to watch, maybe ever in the NBA. I don't need to watch a dude dribble for 22 seconds and launch a 25. I understand he's incredibly skilled and he's very good. I cannot stand watching James Harden as a player. So
travels every time down the court, too.
Well, there's that, too, the triple hop. Before he shoots, it's just like it would have been an absolute crime against basketball because Houston had the Warriors. I mean, they had them a couple of years ago, but because James Harden, I will always believe just because of him, that's why they lost, and it was a basketball justice.
Heidi from Dixon texting in on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and just like that, the Warriors are out as a top five contender. This is coming from Heidi from Dixon, saying the Warriors are done with these trades that the other teams have made. Your reaction, Joe Rexrode, who has predicted the Warriors to win the championship this year?
Well, I mean, if the Nets are lucky enough to face the Warriors in the finals, then we'll see. But this doesn't affect – I'm trying to think. Anybody in the West really
– Lakers are out.
Well, yeah.
The Grizz, man.
Suns.
There are players in there.
Well, no, I'm just saying anybody else in the West make a big deal yesterday that really changes.
Not really, right?
Now, look, the Grizzlies to me are, I mean, it's Suns, it's Warriors, and then right there, I think it's the Grizzlies right there. So it's going to be an amazing playoff. But don't forget the Warriors, who lost to the Knicks last night. They haven't had Draymond Green in a while. They are a totally different team on the defensive end with or without him. So we'll see, Heidi.
Kelton on the text line says, Simmons defense will help the Nets. Certainly will be playing much more defense than James Harden ever did. I don't think there's any question about that.
That's a huge – no, there's no question. Resident Nets fanatic Mitch Light is very excited about this for the record, so I trust him.
My buddy Matt texts again, says, Milwaukee out of the East, and you know it. Hashtag fear the deer. Greatest hashtag in sports, fear the deer.
Well, a Milwaukee Nets Eastern Conference final, very appealing. That could be great. Yeah.
When we come back, it is time for Call Your Shot Friday. We need your bold predictions in the world of sports. Hit up our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
And I will say Liam Robbins will score in double figures. Okay. Does that count? Is that shoddy enough?
Yeah, that counts. Sure.
Von Miller and Aaron Donald will have some combination of five sacks. Again, I thought that was a shot. Then Michelle goes Von Miller three in the first half, but that's what I've got, okay? Odell Beckham will score two, count them two, touchdowns in this game.
Okay.
And a random Preds called shot. Philip Tomasino scores against the Jets tomorrow night.
I like it. Good stuff. All right, my called shots. I've got a few of them, so I'll get through them. I think y'all are crazy. Tennessee wins by 15 tomorrow.
Ooh.
They win by 15 points.
Robbie was hurt by that one from us, Joe.
Yes.
Zakai
counter
Ziegler
shot
shoots 80% or better from the field tomorrow.
80%. Spicy. I like that.
Going to the Preds. The Preds win by 4 against Winnipeg. I think they're going to crush Winnipeg coming up tomorrow at Bridgestone Arena. Going to the Super Bowl. Joe Mixon has a 40-plus yard touchdown. 40-plus yard touchdown for Joe Mixon, who no one is talking about, but I will talk about Joe Mixon here in this segment. Jalen Ramsey has 3 penalties in the game. 3. Count them. 3 wow. penalties in the game for Jalen Ramsey. And Joe Burrow throws for exactly 343 yards. 343 yards passing for Joe Burrow. If I get that one right, I feel like I should win something.
I would think so.
Definitely should.
343 yards for
you
Joe Burrow.
You get to bathe in Skyline Chili if that happens, Ralph.
Don't tempt me with a good time. I'll get in there with CJ Uzama.
A 343-ounce bath of Skyline Chili.
Yes. Sounds great. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Heidi from Dixon texting in says, calling my shot that both teams miss a field goal and both have an interception and neither team scores a rushing touchdown. This is coming from Heidi. Heidi also saying the Rams win by 2 scores, even with a late Bengals score as well. So Heidi going big on the Rams as well in this matchup.
There's some real feeling out there on a Rams blowout, huh?
Yeah.
I'm sensing that from the listeners.
Mark from Clarksville texting in says, called shots or Jamar Chase will have 2 touchdowns and over 100 yards receiving. OBJ will throw a touchdown pass, so a passing touchdown for Odell Beckham Jr. Cooper Kupp will have over 10 receptions, and Burrow will throw a touchdown in the final 2 minutes of the game, and the Bengals will upset the Rams. And finally, Joe Rextro will perform at least one dance move during the halftime show. This is coming from Mark from Clarksville. I'd say that one's a pretty good call.
That's actually, you know, if they play the songs I want to hear, you know, if they play me a deep cut, then that may happen. You know, like the Chronic, everybody's waiting for, like, you know, nothing but a G thing. But, like, to me, if they play D's Nuts, okay, then we might be talking about some dance.
Joe,
moves, okay?
I'm sad because Robbie and I already spoke about this, that we just think it's going to be just kind of an all-over-the-place halftime, and you are really looking forward to this.
No, yeah, I feel like this is really going to let you down.
Oh, no, I'm worried. If it was just Snoop and Dre, then I'd be very confident in a great show. But, no, I think they might totally botch this. I'm hoping not,
Matt
though.
Matt from Camden texting in says, Joe Burrow throws for 3 touchdowns and the Bengals win 31-14. So finally, some Bengals love on the text line the last 2 texts. We hadn't got a whole lot of that today.
Okay, can I read Ricky from the Burrow on the text line?
You go right ahead.
Okay, let's see. There's a lot here. I think these are called shots.
Wait, is that Ricky who listens late?
To the show?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
No.
That's a different Ricky.
Okay, wife's birthday free dessert, banana pudding better than listening to Jared Wine. Okay, picks Titans. I just asked to read text that I can't understand. Titans number 2070. Oh, okay. Titans numbers 2077 and 31 will not be Titans next year. So that is Jenkins, Lawan, Byard. That's okay. A called shot right there that Byard will be. I'm going to say you're going to be wrong. But, I mean, hey, that counts as a called shot. Vrabel learns humbleness. And Super Bowl, Von is the MVP of the Super Bowl.
Humbleness, huh?
That's humility. But, man, Vrabel wins Coach of the Year, and people are taking shots at Vrabel on the
They're just
line.
Getting after it, man. Wow.
Man.
Joe goes, that's actually humility. But
by the way, yeah.
I got another texture that says,
correcting people on the text line.
I got another texture that says, Vandy wins by 6, but is behind until the final 4 minutes. The Vols blow the lead coming up on Saturday. This is becoming a popular pick of Call Your Shot Friday, of Vanderbilt upset of the Vols.
It is.
I do not see it. I do not see it happen.
Big rivalry, Robbie. Come on.
You throw out the records. Throw out the records, Robbie.
I'd be interested to take a look at those records over the course of the last 5 years and what that looks like.
Oh, it's overwhelming. I mean, that's the game I referenced earlier, 2017. That's the last time Vanderbilt's won in this series.
Yeah.
Sounds like Louisville with Kentucky.
Matthew from Paris on the text line says, Burrow gets sacked and fumbles the ball on the last drive at the 50-yard line, and the Rams win 27-31. So a sack fumble closing out the game for the Rams. The Rams are able to do what the Titans were not, and that is force a fumble from Joe Burrow.
That's a good shot.
All right, I got another text that says Cooper Kupp, game-winning touchdown in overtime. Mm. What about an overtime Super Bowl? Golly, I swear, if we get to the Super Bowl and it's overtime and the Rams score on the first drive and we start getting into a coin toss conversation again, I don't know if I'm coming in on Monday.
Well, plus that means, you know, like I'm counting on this sucker to be done at like 9:30 so that Monday's not totally dragging in here. So, yeah, I don't want that. I want a good game. I don't want that.
It starts at 5:30, so it ought to be done by then.
Yeah, but you know, the halftime show forever, man. The commercial breaks are forever. It'll be 4 hours. I know.
It'll be a long, long time. This has been Call Your Shot Friday here on Robbie and Rexwood. We'll continue to take your called shots on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll be joined by our man, Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter. That's next. This is Robbie and Rexwood here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.